This evening to a passage of scripture in the book of Psalms 36, the first four verses. I want to talk tonight from the subject of staying positive in a negative world. We talked this morning about so many things that go on in our lives. And one of the things that we are bombarded with in our lives is this world of negativity. People who are not thinking right, people who are not doing right, people who do not really have a mind on pleasing our Heavenly Father, many because they don't know God as we know Him, many because of their own rebellion, their own misdeeds and misgivings. So they have a negative view, and so it pervades throughout many circles, this world or this air of negativity. The Bible talks about the transgression of the wicked. And it says here in Psalms 36, verse number 1, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Does that sound like a person that has anything positive in his makeup? It sounds like, again, a person who has a negative view. And so he panders into the hands of Satan with all of these things that the psalmist talked about. He does not fear God. He flatters himself. He talks about himself as being so good. The words of his mouth are iniquity, lawlessness, and deceit, liars. Nothing positive about that type of individual. He's left off to be wise and to do good. Nothing positive there. He devises mischief upon his bed, lying on his bed, and he is scheming, thinking about something mischievous or something wrong that he can do. Setteth himself in a way that's not good. He abhorreth, or he hateth not evil. So if he doesn't hate evil, apparently he must love evil. Nothing positive about that kind of individual. And because then we live in a world where men and women are drifting farther and farther away from God and what he desires, it can be seen in all circles of society. And because of this air of negativity that flows throughout our society, sometimes it may have a negative effect on God's people. But I would hope tonight that I would share some things with you that will help us to rise above that, and to continue to maintain our positive attitudes toward that which is good, that which is right, that which is pleasing in the sight of God. So many in this society, it seems as though they're all about what's good for me. And if I have to step on you to advance my agenda, or to achieve my objective, then you better get out of my way because I'm going to step on you. Evil thoughts and evil actions are usually associated with negative mindsets. So in this world that we live in, with all of this negativity, how can we as children of God maintain or stay positive and be a blessing to mankind? I want to suggest to us a few things, about four things tonight, briefly, that children of God ought to always be about in order to stay positive or to rise above the negativity that is in our world. Number one, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. We need to always keep our minds set on things that are above. In this morning's adult Bible school lesson, it was talked so much about distractions that would come into our lives and tend to get us off course. If we keep focusing on the negativity, the negative actions, the negative thoughts, the negative attitudes, and the things that we witness in this world, if we keep focusing on them, they're going to become a distraction to us. And they're going to throw us off course. So Paul said to the Colossian Christians, since you have been risen with Christ, then you need to keep your mind where Christ is. Keep your mind set on those things that are above, not on things of this earth. One of the reasons why we ought not to set our affections and our minds on things of this world or things of this earth is because this world is not our home. We're just sojourning. We're just passing through. We sing the song sometimes, "This world is not my home." We're just passing through it. We're just here for a while. So why then get wrapped up in the things that go on in this life and allow these things to take our focus? Brother Montgomery, Brother Stone, in your absence this morning, kept using that word, kept encouraging us to keep our focus on Christ Jesus. The devil wants to distract us, and he'll use all these things that happen in the world and would tend to influence us. He'll use those things to draw us away from Christ. You see, they don't care anything about you. You see, they are talking about you. You see, they are devising evil against you. You see, they are scheming against you. Why you want to just keep on doing the right thing? Why don't you just give them a piece of your mind? Why don't you just get like them? We can never allow ourselves to lower ourselves to the ways of this world. That's a distraction. We must set our minds on things that are above. We must understand also, since this world is not our home, that these things that happen in this world, which are of a negative effect, they're only temporary. Even though it may cause misery, it may cause pain, it may cause all kinds of agony in our lives, trouble don't last always. Eventually, trouble is going to be over. So we must then keep focusing on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, verse 1 are some familiar passages that Paul talked about. And of course, he was talking about physical suffering and pain that we go through. But I'd like for us to even see this in even the mental anguish that we go through all of the negativity that we are faced with in this world. He says these things, they are just for a moment. But he says they worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen, he said, they are temporal. They last just for a while. But the things that are eternal, that's what we want to focus on. And then we know about that beautiful and that comforting passage in chapter 5 in verse number 1. If this earthly house of our this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The things that will distract us again in this world, the negative things that will distract us, they just last for a while. So Brother Montgomery Gooden would say, keep our focus on Jesus. Another thing that we need to be about if we are not going to allow the negativity in this world to overcome us is to always remember that God's grace is sufficient for us. Paul was taught this great lesson. When he was plagued by, again, a physical ailment, and it could have distracted him, but he learned a great lesson from that. And he said that he prayed, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8 and 9, that he prayed or he besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from him. But then what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul wanted to get rid of this thing. But God said, my grace is sufficient. And not only did God say that, but Paul had already said just before this that God had given him this to keep him humble. Sometimes God allows even negativity to come our way, hopefully to keep us humble. Look at what Paul says in verse number 7. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. You see, he had all had these glorious, wonderful revelations being lifted up into the third heavens. And he says, unless through all of these things, I would be exalted above measure. That was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. God allowed it, allowed Satan, if you will, to afflict him with whatever this thorn in the flesh was to keep him humble. You see, sometimes we can look at ourselves again. We can be like this wicked man that I read about in Psalms 36 that I started off. We can begin to flatter ourselves. Just like, again, the lesson that we've been studying from on Sunday morning in adult class, the church at Laodicea. They were all flattered about their riches, about their wealth, saying they didn't have no need for God. Sometimes we can lift ourselves too high up and think that we don't need God. God sometimes will allow the struggles and the things to come into our lives to bring us back down, to let us know that we need him all the time. But you see, people who have these negative attitudes, they don't have no regard for God. That's the first thing the psalmist said about the wicked man. He doesn't even regard God. So if you don't regard God, then you know you don't think you need him. So we need to always realize that we need God. Without him, we are helpless. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You see, humility is a great Christian asset. Humility doesn't mean, as we say so many times, humility, humbleness, and meekness, it doesn't mean weakness. It means that we are allowing God to take control of our lives and we are willingly submitting to his will, God may take us through the struggle. But if he takes us through the struggle, if he's taken us through it, he's right there with us, going all the way through the struggle with us. Can you imagine? Joseph. Y'all remember him, don't you? Pick him up over in Genesis chapter 37 and read about him all the way up to Genesis chapter 50. 49 doesn't talk so much about him, but all the way through 50, it talks about the struggles that Joseph went through, but God was with him all the way. God was with him all the way from the pit, as somebody said on one occasion, all the way to the palace. Some things happened in his life, and perhaps he perhaps didn't see how God was going to work all this stuff out for him. As I said this morning, when we have our struggles, when we have our trials, God is going to work it out if we remain faithful to him. And you can read this account and you'll see that God was with him all the way through his struggles. They left him, his brothers left him in the pit. But then one brother came back and said, let's not do that. They sent him to this band of Ishmaelites. They did that. And these band of Ishmaelites took him on into Egypt. He was sold there. Potiphar bought him. And he worked on his way up to becoming, as we would call it, the Secretary of Agriculture. But before he got there, a lie was told on him, and he was cast into prison. Can you imagine him struggling over that? I didn't do anything wrong, but yet I am here in this prison. But God, after a while, brought him out of the prison. And now he is promoted, if you will. And you know what? When his brothers came down to Egypt to get bread, they recognized that it was him, and they were afraid that he was going to take vengeance on them. But you know what he said? It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God that sent me here so that I could save much people alive. Sometimes God uses us and takes us through the struggle so that he can elevate us and use us for another purpose. And that's what he did for Joseph. But if we are not careful, we allow the negativity that would come into our lives to distract us. But it didn't distract Joseph. Joseph hung in there. So I'm saying to us tonight, when we find ourselves in a struggle, and especially if we know it's not our doing, hang in there. God will use that for his purpose. And eventually we'll see the good that will come from it. But again, unless we remember that God's grace is sufficient, we'll say, oh Lord, why have you done this to me? You don't care anything about me. But again, we got to be like David that we talked about this morning. David says, Psalms 27 and verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we got to remain even in the struggle and allow God to bring us through. Another thing that ought to help us to go on and overcome the negativity in this world and stay positive is to never stop rejoicing in the Lord. And sometimes it's hard to rejoice when you're struggling, but rejoice anyhow. Paul said this to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4 and verse number 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know where Paul was when he wrote that? In prison. You in prison, Paul, and you talking about rejoicing? Why aren't you thinking about yourself?
Why aren't you just weeping over your condition and hoping that you'll get out, get an early release, and you get out of this dungeon that you're in? But yet you were talking about rejoicing. Paul was not distracted by his circumstances, and he didn't want the Philippian church to be distracted by their circumstances. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So the naysayers then would stand by and say, if you were doing right, all of this wouldn't be happening to you. Paul says, no matter what's happening to me, I'm going to rejoice, and I want you to rejoice. So Paul recognized again that it's a wonderful thing to rejoice in the Lord. And James picks up his pen of inspiration. James chapter 1 and verse number 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations, different kinds of temptations. We have all kinds of temptations out there. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, when you're in the struggle, it's hard humanly to rejoice. But when you think about where the struggle will lead you to, if you remain faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can rejoice in the struggle because you know he is there with you. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I say to us tonight, whatever negativity we experience in this life, don't let it distract us. Because whatever the struggle, whatever the negativity, whatever it is that we go through, it can by in no means compare to what we're going to get out of it if we remain faithful to the Lord. Paul said this about his suffering, about suffering, when he wrote to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. He says, I reckon that the suffering that we endure cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So whatever it is that comes, whatever we're bombarded with, know that the Lord will see us through it if we don't allow ourselves to become distracted by these things. So yes, the evil person don't think about God. The evil person, he's thinking about himself. He's thinking about how he can get to you and get to me, how he can mess over you and mess over me. He's scheming. He's telling lies. All of these kind of things that the psalmist talked about. That's negativity. And we can allow those things to either affect us negatively, like the evil man wants them to, or we can allow them to encourage us to depend on God and get us through whatever is thrown our way. Let's stay positive in a negative world. Don't allow the negativity to get us off track. Don't allow Satan to win. But let's beat Satan at his game. And sometimes, before I close the night, sometimes another trick that Satan can use to throw us off track when we're going through all of these things from a negative standpoint, he will influence us to think that we're the only one that's going through it. But Peter says it like this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, down about verse 9, I believe it is, he says over there that the same affliction is coming upon your brethren in the world. So we're not the only one. And to know then that others are going through it, they are hanging in there, let us hang in there also. The Hebrew writer talked about some people that went through the struggle. He talked about those that were cut in sunder, those that were torn in pieces. But yet he says their faith remained with them. They didn't allow the persecutors, when they came to cut them in sunder, they didn't allow them to distract them and give up on their faith. They gave their lives faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's my point again? Let's stay positive in a negative world. That's the only way we can bless somebody. Because if we become negative, just like they are, I believe that even tells us in mathematics that like signs repel each other. We don't need to be negative when everybody else is negative. We need to be positive so that we can somehow attract them to see how we are handling the situation. And maybe they can say, maybe I can handle it too. Let's stay positive in a negative world. If you're here then this evening, and maybe some of the negativity that you faced in your life have caused you to waver or to get off track, I want to encourage you tonight to rededicate yourself, to get back in step with God, and to walk hand in hand with Him. And if you walk hand in hand with Him, He'll walk hand in hand with you. If you're here tonight and maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Hear and believe the gospel. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And go down in a water agreeable baptism for the remission of your sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. Become a member of His church. And then live faithful, staying positive in a negative world. If you're here then and you need to repent of an erring way, we urge you to do that. If you need to confess before us, we urge you to do that. If you just need prayer to help you, to give you strength, to keep on going in this negative world that we live in, whatever your need is tonight, we want to encourage you to come. Come right now while we stand.